We're not going to look at Proverbs 31, although we will refer to it. I love that bit about all the children calling you mums blessed. You practice that tomorrow, and the husbands were to do it as well. But if you turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 22, you'll see that we're going to come at this at a slightly different angle. Proverbs 11 and verse 22. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. That test always makes people laugh, doesn't it? And especially the men. But you can stop sniggering, men, because there's plenty of application here for us chaps as well. Solomon intends it to be humorous on the one hand, but he also wants it to be thought-provoking and challenging. It's one of these proverbs that bring together things that just don't belong together. It's incongruous, you call it. And Jesus does something similar when he talks about the camel going through the eye of a needle. The camel, a great big animal, and then the eye of a needle, a tiny, minuscule opening. And he says it's easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. He's given you massive impossibilities here, different things, and he brings them together. Well, Solomon takes two things that are very, very different. A gold ring, beautiful, expensive, shiny, and a pig's nose, which is mucky and gross. I'm sure some people here probably love pigs, and you think they're the cutest things imaginable. You collect little porcelain pigs. You've got a whole mantelpiece full of them. And okay, they are cute, aren't they? But would you really want a whole herd of them in your living room? Would you allow a couple of British saddlebacks or Indonesian potbellies to roam around the house? They're mucky things. And look at that nose. It isn't a thing of beauty, is it? They don't have very good manners. They put their noses in the troughs. They forage in the mud. And that beautiful gold ring is very quickly going to be covered in mucus and mire and muck. We should also remember that for Solomon as a Jew, the pig was an unclean, detestable animal. He didn't think they were cute and collect little porcelain pigs for the palace mantelpieces. It was something that was gross. And so you got something precious and beautiful, and it's set against the backdrop of something which is ugly, unclean and dirty, and it's out of place. And so we move into the other part of the proverb, because the first bit is an illustration. Now Solomon drives home his thinking and says, so is a lovely woman, a beautiful woman, who lacks discretion. And we'll take the proverb in three stages. We'll think first of all about outward beauty, how much we value that, and we'll apply that to the men as well. And then we'll look at inward ugliness, and then we'll come on to inward beauty. So let's start with outward beauty. There's nothing wrong with being beautiful. It is a God-given gift if you are a beautiful woman or a handsome man. It's not something that you should be proud of, because you didn't make yourself like that. You didn't chisel those cheekbones or create those eyes or knit together those bones. God made you, and he made you like you are. And most importantly, if you're a Christian, he loves you as you are. Beauty is great. We have a God who's made beautiful things, although the effects of the fall are seen in every single one of us. But I don't imagine, looking round at us here this evening, that our beauty or our looks are the most important thing in our lives. If they are, then we're to be pitied. Because remember what Solomon said in chapter 31. He said, charm is deceitful and beauty is fleeting, passing, going quickly. When I was a student doing a summer pastorate in Loughborough, the minister there, Roger Abbott, told me to go and visit a very old lady in a nursing home just outside of the town. And he told me before I went that she had been one of the tiller girls. Now, for you younger ones, and probably not so young ones, the tiller girls were girls allowed, or the Spice Girls of the 1930s. They were A-list celebrities. They were singers and dancers. Wherever they went, the paparazzi would have followed them. They were beautiful people. I was quite excited when I was told that I was going to visit this lady. I wasn't married at the time, I was a student. But when I got to the nursing home, I met a lady who was extremely old. And beauty wasn't just fading, it had fled, outward beauty, by that stage. But this was so exciting. That old lady sat in a chair, had just become a Christian. It was only about a year before, in her 80s or 90s, she'd just become a Christian, and she was beautiful. There was inward beauty and excitement and joy that was incorruptible and so attractive and glorious. There's something better than outward beauty. If you are beautiful, handsome, don't be proud of that. Don't be vain. Don't look down on those who aren't as beautiful as you. That's something which is difficult. You children especially, you're lovely. Don't ever look down on others who might not be as gorgeous as you are. Don't use your beauty in a way that you shouldn't, to flatter or to coerce or impress. I think just as it takes special grace to be rich and godly, it takes special grace to be beautiful and godly. Absalom, the most handsome of all men, he couldn't do it. Abigail, a beautiful woman, she did. But pray and pray and pray and work with the Spirit to ensure that our inward beauty outshines our outward. You know, one day in the resurrection, this is exciting, we will have our proper beauty and glory restored to us. Our bodies will be the height of perfection. They'll be incorruptible, noble, powerful, glorious, immortal, honourable, and we'll be able to wear them without pride or haughtiness or competitiveness. We'll have the grace to be able to do that. But at the moment, outward beauty is passing away. Secondly, let's look at inward ugliness. As a ring of gold in a pig's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. There's an alternative word for discretion that some of the translations use, and it's taste. A lovely woman who lacks taste. And that is the literal meaning of this word. We still use bad taste, don't we, in our conversations today. Somebody makes a joke and it's in bad taste. It's out of place. Nobody finds that nice at all. Or we have bad taste in our clothing. We make terrible fashion faux pas. My children tell me I'm not allowed to wear socks with flip-flops. It's difficult to do it, but I don't see why I shouldn't be allowed to do it. But it's bad taste. It's a fashion faux pas. Well, I don't think this beautiful woman has bad taste in her clothes anyway. But she lacks good judgment. Or he, if it's a handsome person, lacks good judgment. so many different translations of this Hebrew word in the Old Testament. See, if you go to chapter 26, verse 17 of Proverbs, it's translated here as sense. The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven who can answer sensibly. So this person here in chapter 11 lacks biblical sense. Psalm 119, verse 66 says, teach me, and here's the same word again, good judgment. It's one of those really important wisdom words that God, through Proverbs, is seeking to implant in our hearts. The Proverbs of Solomon, it's how the book begins. The son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, to give prudence to the simple, to young men, knowledge and discretion. This is something that we all need, discretion, sense, judgment. We need good judgment. This person that Solomon introduces us to is beautiful. You can think handsome if you want, but inwardly, there's no discretion. They lack wisdom, the ability to make right judgments, to say the right thing at the right time, or not to say anything sometimes, to make wise biblical judgments on a matter or a person. When faced with a dilemma or a temptation to act in the right way, they're not thinking with the mind of Christ. And it's a problem. It doesn't matter what we look like on the outside. If we're like that inside, we've got a serious problem. Here's a case study for you, Jezebel. I imagine Jezebel was beautiful. Don't you? In all my children's story Bible book, she was stunningly beautiful. I mean, the king had married her. They do like to have trophy wives. But she was a horrendous person. She was cruel, deceptive, manipulative, domineering, heartless. Or take Potiphar's wife. I imagine she was beautiful. But she was as bad a wife as you could imagine. She made catastrophic judgments behind her husband's back. She was selfish, lustful, rushing after sin. She lied. She didn't care about other people. She's a scheming, vicious person, beautiful, yet horrible. It doesn't matter how beautiful or handsome the outside might be, if the inside is lacking this godly discretion, then everything else becomes foul and polluted. Out comes the gossip. Out comes the malice, the flirting, the deception, and the beauty that she has, or the strength that he has, or the other gifts that he has, becomes ruined and marred by this lack of judgment and discretion. It spoils everything. And it's a sad thing that whilst we might have been born beautiful on the outside, and babies are cute, aren't they? And they are. I'm sorry, you weren't shaking yet. They are beautiful on the outside. But inside, none of us have been born beautiful. And the seeds of selfishness and sin are already there. You don't have to teach infants to be selfish, do you? They are masters at it. You don't have to teach them to become defiant. They learn it all by themselves. I can remember trying to show the blessings of sharing to one of my children. I can't remember which one of you it was, so it's okay. But they were just a toddler at the time. And I wanted to show them how happy sharing could make them. And so I gave them a few sweets and said, now we're going to give one to Mum, and one to Dad, and one to Grandma, and one to your sister. This rules Katie out. She's not here. And you can have the last one. And you see, sharing makes you... And they said, sad. They hated it. Well, that's what we're like inside. We don't make good, godly judgments.
God tells us that the human heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? And it really is only through rebirth, being born again by the Holy Spirit of God, by coming to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith in him, that we have any hope of spiritual inward change. It's a scary thing to look on the inside of us. Paul does it for us. He gives us a diagnosis in Titus chapter 3, verse 3, where he says, "We should speak evil of no one. We should be peaceable and gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves also were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Without the touch of God and the power of the Holy Spirit and the life of his Son, the inside is awfully ugly. Jesus described us as being like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but inside full of decay and corruption. And it doesn't matter how beautiful the outside looks, it doesn't change what is inside and what we really are. There was a man in Trowbridge who made a replica of a Lamborghini Countach. The things people do in their garages is quite astonishing. But he made this out of fiberglass, and it was a perfect outward replica of a Lamborghini Countach. If you don't know what they look like, just think of angles and great big spoilers on the back and flared arches, the fastest, meanest looking car that you could imagine. But unfortunately, he attached this fiberglass shell that he'd worked on to the chassis and running gear of a Morris Marina. If you don't know what a Morris Marina is, think of a car that grandma drives slowly. And no matter how great it looked on the outside, it was still a Morris Marina, really. It wasn't hiding what it really was. It couldn't do. It was a marina in Countach clothing. Well, Jesus says you need inward change. You need to be born again. We need to start anew as we come to the God who's made us through Jesus Christ, who saves us to become new creations in his power. And then we see inward beauty. We come with the muck and the ruin of our lives, knowing what we're like. And we're worse than rusty Morris Marinas on the inside. We come to a God who cleanses and who gives us the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and who washes away our sin and the guilt, and who promises us that one day we're going to be like Jesus. But here's our third point, inward beauty. He starts that work now. And the Holy Spirit begins to renew our minds. We start to love God's ways. We find ourselves crying out with the psalmist, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge." We have a desire for this now, or we need to have a desire for this. We want to be the people who have discretion. Same word, teach me good judgment. Do you ever pray that? And then just not read the Bible. Because that's where we find God's will. And we devour that and we hunger and thirst after that. With people who pray, teach me good knowledge and judgment. And he changes our wills so that we start to submit to his ways. And he changes our characters. And in the place of folly and selfishness and hate and that overwhelming desire for what's wrong, he can produce spiritual fruit. Okay, the work is slow, but it's perceptible. And he produces love. And I've just been so excited preaching about love again and again and again and again and again throughout 2014 and the back part of 2013, and seeing how people have responded to that and seeing it growing.
And he produces joy. You're out to be happy and smile in church because there is joy in the Lord. And he's producing that in your lives, and peace and patience and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and kindness and self-control. Oh yeah, there's lots and lots of failures and slippings back, but the work goes on. And he who started a good work in you, he's promised that he's going to complete it against that day. And that work is beautiful. And it becomes more and more beautiful as the years pass by. The most lovely character and life to grace this planet was that of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And you must have noticed in the Bible how little God tells us about what Jesus' outward appearance was actually like. What is said is stunning. God says there was no beauty that you should desire him. People were not won over by Jesus' looks, by the majesty of his looks or the glory of his clothes. We read, he bore our griefs, he carried our sorrows, and his appearance was marred more than any other man. But his character wasn't marred. And even in the sufferings that he went through, when he was marred for our sake, when he was abused, love flowed out of him. Love to God, love for his enemies. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Love to us. People came to Jesus because there was integrity and truth married to compassion and love. There was unimaginable power, yet incredible gentleness. There was awesome glory, yet total humility. They came to Jesus because he didn't break people. He mended them. He didn't extinguish struggling souls. He carried them and cared for them. And he stooped and he served. And no life has ever been lived like this one, and it's beautiful. But he's pleased to begin to carve more and more of his character into our lives as we're living the Christian life and giving us that inward beauty. We don't prize it enough. I think we do prize it, but we can't prize it enough. We lament our expanding waistlines and our fading looks and atrophying muscles, but we should get excited about the renewal of the inward person as we walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, as we're being transformed into the image of the Son of God. Again, go back now to Proverbs 31 and that virtuous wife. She's lovely. She's priceless. You can't put a value on her, Solomon says. Her price is above that of rubies. Where many daughters have done well, she excels them all. Now notice, not a thing is said about what she looks like. Not her physical appearance. I'm not saying that she wasn't beautiful, we just don't know. But passing, fading beauty isn't mentioned in this list from Solomon. But what she is, what she's like, is beautiful. She's caring, verse 20. She stretches out her hand to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy. She's trustworthy. The heart of her husband swiftly trusts her. She's honourable. Strength and honour are her clothing. She's wise. She opens her mouth with wisdom. She's kind. And on her lips is the law of kindness. And the great secret of her life is that whilst charm is deceitful and beauty is fading or fleeting, a woman who, what? Fears the Lord, she will be praised. And a man who fears the Lord, he will be praised. She has this godly judgment and understanding. She fears God. And God works out his will through her life, and it's magnificent. It's priceless. In a world which is obsessed with the outward, We have the privilege to show something better, the character of Jesus in our lives. Thinking this morning about showing the world the reign of peace in the life of the local church as love is worked out and they see something that they've never seen before and it's attractive. And God is displaying his glory in the life of his people. Well, here it's individuals. And he's working out his glory in our lives. And we're bearing witness to Jesus, not just in the things that we say, but in the way that we live. People will see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. We've got to show it inward beauty. Peter could write to women in the church and say, don't let your adornment be merely outward. Arranging your hair, wearing gold, putting on fine clothes. He doesn't say don't do those things. He says don't let it merely be outward. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. And God says, that is beautiful to me. And to the men living in a world which is obsessed with fitness and physique, Paul says, yeah, bodily exercise, it profits a little. Do it. Great. But here's something better. Godliness is something which is profitable in all things. Be more excited about looking like Jesus, about having the character of God being etched into our characters and living out the life of God as a child of God. That's a strength and a beauty that won't fade. Well, may God deliver us from being gold rings in pigs' noses or whitewashed sepulchres, lovely on the outside but rotten on the inside. May he give us that godly discretion and right good judgment, that knowledge of his way that works through our lives and doesn't mar our witness but rather sets it against a beautiful background. May we be people who fear the Lord and delight in him. Amen.